Hola mi gente, my name is Jessica Yáñez and I want you to join me for some wine and chisme. The Wine and Chisme podcast was created to amplify voices across communities of color, all while drinking a glass of wine. From wine talk, interviews, and recaps of all things pop culture, join me every Wednesday for the chisme. Please make sure to check out the Wine and Chisme podcast and other amazing podcasts as part of the Latina Podcasters Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Echale Podcast. My name is Jose Quintero, and I'm super excited, like every episode, how I tell you guys that I'm excited for our guest. She's an actress, philanthropist, YouTube content creator, social media guru, adventurer, y también es una amiga, y le encanta la salsa con ustedes, Gabriela Bañuelos!
Hi, thank you. Oh my gosh, it made me sound so fun.
You are fun. I've been watching your YouTube channels for such a long time. You know, like, obviously when YouTube was a thing, not a lot of people were on it. But as a person in the industry or wanting to get in the industry, I think the closest thing was YouTube for a lot of us.
Yeah.
So seeing you, seeing Josh Leyva, seeing Los Cholo Adventures, like all that was so much fun that I'm like, I want to be friends with them.
And here we are.
Here we are doing a podcast.
Oh my God. Well, that's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a journey. When you think about YouTube, like that was in before 2013. I feel like I started doing my own YouTube maybe like in 2013, 2014. Uh-huh. But I was doing video appearances with them way before that, like in 2010 or something.
See, and I mean, I graduated high school at 2009. So.
Oh, me too.
Oh, hey! Really? Class of 09?
Yes. Oh, wait awesome. A minute. Where did you graduate?
Graduated.
What high school?
Oh, Fontana High School. So I'm from the Inland Empire.
Oh, dang. Okay. You're the IE. No. Paramount, baby. Let's go.
Okay. I had so many friends in Downey. Actually, my family is from Downey. So, like, they went to Warren and all this other stuff. So, it's so funny because every time I, like, learned about a new YouTuber, it was, like, Paramount, Downey, Southgate. And then I'm like, Norwalk. They're all literally there.
Yes, the 562. No, I know. That was literally what I saw, too, growing up. Well, growing into the social media world with YouTube, it was everybody from my little world, which was crazy because you never see that, you know? Yeah. Like, you see the entertainment industry and you see people coming from, like, I don't know, the East Coast, from all over the place, but they're never from where you're from. So it's really cool going to places now and people are like, oh my God, Gabby, I've been following you for a minute. Uh-huh. And like, it's really cool that you're from here, from LA, born and raised. I was like, hey, yes I am.
So let's talk about that journey. How did YouTube come into your life? Was Gabriela siempre así de chispita? She always wanted to dance, sing, because you do a little bit of everything.
Yeah. So being an actor has always been my thing. And when I was in high school, I remember PD Flo, and the gang, you know, Eric, Alex, Tim, all of them. Peter was actually writing a movie and he came to our high school and he pretty much said, hey, I have open auditions. When you guys graduate, come on through. Whoa. And I auditioned. And it was funny because I auditioned for the film. It was called High School Sucks the Musical. We're all still waiting for it. Don't worry.
Tell us about it.
No, yeah, we're all still waiting for that movie to come out. It's so funny. But I auditioned for like a cheerleader role. I got the role, right? I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be in the big screen. Yes. And then out of nowhere, I get a call from him saying, hey, our lead kind of backed out. Something happened. Can you audition for the lead?
The Gabriela.
Yes, me. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, let's do this. I book the lead for his like musical, right? And I'm freaking out thinking this is my big break. We're going to make it, mom. I did it, you know?
This is around the same time. Sorry to cut you off.
No, it's good.
But like you're talking about High School Musical remake, where Darren Criss was doing Harry Potter, the remake, and that's how Darren Criss got his big break because it was posted on YouTube, very bad quality, and then he was he was scouted into Glee.
Oh,
so very similar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that's what, like, literally the story is like very similar. Like, oh my God, a parody of a movie. So
yeah. I mean, I guess in a way it is kind of like a parody. It had a whole different story of its own, you know. It had nothing to do with High School Musical.
Okay.
But I wish you guys could see it. We had a few screenings. They were like private screenings, so some fans did get to see it. But we're still waiting for the date comes out because it's so good. It's such a good movie. But yeah, that's kind of how I got into social media, because Eric and them, they were doing MySpace, and yes, then Facebook, and then YouTube started popping off, and they got into that, and I was in their world because I was filming something with them, and there you go. That's kind of how it started.
So when you started auditioning, did you ever expect your life to turn into such a public? Because obviously right now I feel like we're a lot more mature, of course, right? But you grew up in an era where social media influencers, that wasn't even a term, but YouTubers was huge. And you were one of the first ones with Eric, with Josh, with George, you know, that people recognized you, but you didn't necessarily come out on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was, I don't know, not to say like I was uncomfortable, because I was never uncomfortable. It was actually kind of flattering, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think, I personally never stepped into this career wanting the fame, because mm-hmm. I see it and I'm like, oh, I would hate to walk around and not have like my privacy and feeling like all eyes are on me. But it started happening. Yeah. And I started to think like, oh, maybe I have to act this way, maybe I have to act that way. But you know what? The more I got, like, I guess in the public eye,
yeah,
I realized it doesn't matter. Like, I am who I am on camera and like behind cameras, you know? Like, people always ask me, are you the same person or do you just turn it on? I was like, nah, bro, I don't have nothing. I'm just an open book. I'm not going to hide anything.
Literally. I feel like that's what happens with so many of us who also work in this industry. It's like, oh yeah, you're really cool. And I was like, well, thanks. Cause I try to be like, I try to be kind. Cause I see it also that it can backfire for so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you started, doing YouTube, how long after did you start noticing like, oh, I could make some money off of this?
Ooh, how long after? Dang, I don't know. I think I started seeing it more with like Eric and them.
Yeah.
I was focused really solely on acting. So it was two different worlds. It still is very much. They're kind of trying to merge into each other, but they're still very different. And I started seeing it with him and his friends. And I was like, damn, wait, how much are you making
on on YouTube?
Like, wait, hold up. Let me fix myself and start really doing this, you know? And It was like when I was looking at his stuff, and then I was like, okay, maybe I should, because I was for a very long time hesitant, yeah, and I didn't want to do my own YouTube. I always kept telling them like, no, that's their thing. Mine is just acting. And then I realized, hey, this is a platform that I can really give myself the opportunities that the industry still isn't giving me,
yeah,
you know? So I saw it as I can make money, but also give myself the opportunities that I haven't been given, and who knows what eyes are looking and what opportunities can come from that, you mm-hmm. know?
Oh, hell my God. Yeah. That's awesome, because, like I said, I saw your videos and then I kind of see the growth. Where was the transition between YouTube? I know you said you didn't stop doing acting mm-hmm. and whatnot, but did you go out and audition? Like, did you go to college and study acting? How?
So
after high school.
So after high school, I did go to college, uh-huh, and that was my goal. Like, you know, I feel like I heard it so many times from my parents, tienes que ir al colegio, tienes que hacer algo, you know? And for a very long time, they weren't very, like, supportive of my acting, pursuing this dream, because they saw, you know, the media.
Yes.
Like, people are alcoholics, oh, there's another death, and then the Hollywood, y todo ese pelo, you know? So, they were very hesitant, so I was like, okay, I'm going to go into college and see what I want to do. Somehow, little old Gabby always trickled back into theater or into music.
Same.
Or into dance. Like, it was always something with entertainment.
Yeah.
And I kind of just, oh my gosh, Mom, if you ever hear this, you're going to find out. I took the leap of faith, and I did tell my parents at one point, like, hey, I'm going to maybe take a semester off. I'm going to see how that goes.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't know I took an entire year off. I just kept pretending that I was going to school.
Oh my God.
I can't believe I'm saying this right now. Yeah, I kept pretending I was going to school. And I just told myself, if it doesn't work out, I'm going to go back to school. But I took a leap of faith and I started auditioning. I started booking things. And I'm like, okay, I feel like God is telling me to just keep going. Like, my path is going to be untraditional, you know? It's not going to be what other people took. That's okay, you know? I saw my siblings do college. That was their thing. Mine wasn't, you know? I took a leap of faith and I said I'm gonna go for it, and I've never looked back. I didn't finish school. I went for like 3 years, but I did go into classes for like acting in the LA studios, you know, and I still do. I still take classes here and there. I feel like it's always an ongoing journey. You're continuously learning. You're, whether you're on set or in class, you're always learning. And yeah, you never kind of stop. So
what school did you go to?
I went in Long Beach City
College. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
LBCC?
LBCC, yeah.
That's awesome.
When it had the bunnies, they were so cute.
No, but it's so interesting. I can see myself in your story just because I grew up watching novelas and I grew up watching El Gordo y la Flaca, and I was like, I want to do what they do because they look like me and I could... I feel like I could act and whatnot. So I remember I went into school studying like medicine and then chemistry because they wanted me to be a doctor and whatnot.
Right.
But I was taking theater classes off to the side. Mm-hmm. And one day I just like broke down with my dad and I told him first because not my mom because I was afraid of her.
Oh,
and I was all like,
mine is opposite.
Yeah, right? And I was all like, I think I'm going to follow my dreams and I'm going to major in theater. And he's all like, well, haz lo que te haga feliz, et cetera, et cetera. And then the obstacle of having my mom to tell her, but then she had like this whole family reunion as to why I shouldn't do it. Long story short, I ended up majoring in marketing, but I minored in theater just because I was like, okay, I guess marketing is something that I can learn how to do. How do I market myself as an actor
or
in the entertainment industry?
It's a whole business.
It is. At the end of the day, it is a whole business. I'm glad that you followed your dreams. What was your first booking?
My first big booking where I was like, oh my God, again, my big break. It was Disney. I could not believe. And it was for a show that I loved. And I was actually like a fan watching it. It was Good Luck Charlie.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And till this day, people will like comment, oh my God, I saw the episode of Good Luck Charlie. Oh my God. Oh my God. So it was cool because I was like a featured extra, which I was. It was like literally camera time. You know, I was on there. It was like, you're the lead and I'm sitting next to her. I have no lines, but I'm just reacting to everything, right? So that was kind of like my biggest break, that. And then from there, they booked me for a few other like episodes for that. And then I did something else with, what was it called? Ali and...
Also on Disney?
Yeah,
it was Disney. Yes, Ali. I do remember something.
Yeah, something with Ali, right? I did like a music video with them. And that's where I started getting some of my credits. And then... here I am now, like auditioning still, you know?
Yeah. How was that? Being in Disney, this was what, about 10 years ago?
God, yeah, probably.
About 10 years ago. Obviously, you hear the stories just recently with Nickelodeon and Dan Schneider and whatnot. But then how was the culture within Disney at that time? It was probably completely different than Britney, Justin, which obviously some of them were scarred from that era. But how was it during that time when you were on Disney?
Well, since I wasn't, like, super involved because I wasn't, like, you know, a lead or anything, I personally felt very comfortable being on set.
Yeah.
I felt like as my role as that, like, featured extra, they had us in a certain area, and then you had the leads in a certain area. You don't really interact when you're, like, an extra, technically. You're not supposed to be interacting with, like, the leads. But they were very friendly. When we were on set with them, they were really sweet. It seemed like everybody had a really good relationship with each other, whether it was crew or castmates themselves. So I didn't feel anything. But again, I don't know what happens behind the scenes. If I was probably casted for like a lead, I would have known more. But
yeah, and I think you were also older at that time,
uh-huh.
where you were a lot more conscious of like, okay, this I don't like. This feels a little off.
Yeah. And I never felt that. I never felt that at all on set. I didn't feel like they were treating me in some kind of way. It was also really cool being like, I think I was like maybe the only Hispanic Latina in there. I think it was me and one more other girl that got casted in it that were like the only ones from what I can tell. Obviously, you know, there's Latinos that are güeritos y uno no sabe, ¿verdad? But it seemed like we were the only ones, and I was like, dang, like I'm really here with all these people, and I'm like one of the only brown girls here.
That is awesome.
Know?
Kudos to you.
Yeah.
How do you feel though? Do you think that we've made strides or we still have a huge gap to fill for Latinos in, well, representation on, I guess I want to say general market. So many people have said, like, if you don't see yourself on TV, change the channel because there's always like Univision, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, those shows are either filmed in Mexico or in Miami. Something locally would be probably like Disney, Nickelodeon, Paramount Studios that's here in LA.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we probably need a little bit more of representation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't feel like... I feel like we're making something happen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like our voice is starting to be heard a lot more, but I don't see much of a difference still.
Yeah.
I feel like when they want to have representation, they just book the same people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. I hope you're listening, Hollywood. Because it feels like it's always the same people. And I get it. Like, mad respect for the ones that have already made it through. You are the reason why we are still pushing, you know, and you guys have opened doors for us. But I feel like it's still in a place where they don't want to give too many opportunities to the people that are trying, to the new faces, to people that don't have, you know, an image in Hollywood or in social media, you know. I see the fight and I'm hoping that it gets better, but it also comes down to our people supporting what we have out there, because we have had shows that have come out and represent, whether it's Mexican-American culture, whether it's a Cuban-American culture, whatever it is, you know. But I feel like these shows get cut out of these streaming sites or these big networks because we aren't out there supporting. So it comes down with a lot of the support.
And it's expensive to make a movie. Like, if you wanted to make one yourself, like, you know what? If I don't see myself, I'm going to produce one. But then you need, like, so much funding to even, like, do one day of shoot, you know? So I can totally see how that can be frustrating. Has there ever been a role that you were so close to getting that you don't mind sharing, that you'd be like, oh, I was so close, probably?
Like, a very big role, I don't think I was that close in getting it. I've had a certain, like, commercials where it was like me and one other person, and I'm like, no, why don't they give it to her, you know? And you never know. You really never know. It's crazy because it could have been, I don't know, a bad day for the producer, and no le caí bien ese día, you know? Or, well, you never know. That's the thing about this. It can be very, like, dumb in the sense of they didn't like you because, I don't know, your hair just wasn't the look that they wanted, that you know, for the shoot or whatever. So it's always heartbreaking. This is a hard industry, and I'm sure you know, like, you get rejected so many times before you start getting those yeses that you just build this, like, wall, and you kind of, like, take those blows and you're like, okay, well, it is what it is. I mean, I still fall in those moments where I'm, like, depressed about it, like, why didn't I get it? And then I just, I'm like, okay, whatever.
I love that you brought that up, just because so many young boys and girls want to go into this industry, and rejection is so hard nowadays, especially with social media. You have, like, instant gratification. Before, it was like, okay, I'm going to live my life. And even with YouTube, it was like you were public, but not as public as people are now with, like, Instagram, TikTok, et cetera, where, like, we are consumed. So instant gratification is like, hey, look where I'm at. I'm about to go to an audition, and it's like, oh, I didn't get it. So it's like, do you really want to post it? But what would you tell those people who are going into the industry and having to face their first rejection?
Oh, that's a good one. I guess I wish I would have had someone tell me, like, this is normal. This is going to happen more to you than you can even expect or, like, hope for, you know? It's part of the process, really. The rejection is only going to make you want it even more. Or want it less. You know, it really just depends what you're going in for this. Are you going into it for the fame? Or are you going into it for the art of it, you know? And I feel like it comes down to that, honestly. I feel like I've met people and they're always like, oh, I just want the attention. I just want to be popular. I want people to know my name. And those people tend to, if I meet them, like, down the line, they're like, oh, I'm not doing it anymore. I got tired of it, you know? And the people that really do it for the art, they're there and they're taking those hits. They're taking those blows. So really just know it has nothing to do with you, and it has everything to do with the team behind it, like the production, the director, whatever it was that maybe they loved what you did, but you just weren't right for that role in that moment, you know? And they'll remember you. They will. Like, I've gotten called back for, like, the same casting director sometimes, same directors, because they like what you're doing, but they're just waiting for that right role. So you got to just keep going. You got to keep going. It has nothing to do with you.
Now, with content creation and obviously social media being so huge nowadays in acting, because so many directors or producers want, like, sometimes a big following, how does that negatively affect somebody who's going into an audition?
So for me personally, I think I just get into my head thinking, I really hope they book me for my talent, not for my numbers. Like, that's how I see it personally, you know? Maybe somebody else will see it like, oh, they're not gonna book me for my talent, they're gonna book this person for their numbers. And it's different for me, you know. Yeah. I tell this to my friends all the time too. Sometimes I'm like, man, I just really hope I got that call back, or I booked it because now it is true. Like yeah. you said, they will ask in certain auditions, like, what are your numbers on social media?
Wow.
And you'd think that I'd be happy, like, yeah. oh, I got this in the bag, you know? But then it has me thinking, well, I don't want to book this because of popularity. I want to book this because I have the talent and I have what they're looking for. So it's hard. It's a battle between, like, yeah. like you worked hard for your numbers, quote unquote, you know, like on social media, but...
But your craft isn't perfected.
Right, right.
Yeah, because so. I have seen it. I've seen roles given to content creators who have 1 million, 2 million that I'm like, I wonder, like, if they got it because of their talent, because I don't see it very well,
yeah.
but I know that a lot of people are going to watch it because of their social media following.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I feel like I fall into the whole of, I look at it and uh-huh. I look at their work. And I don't want to judge because I want to be very proud.
Of course.
But we're human. And sometimes, you know, you do fall into that and you're kind of like, oh, man, but I could have done it better. Yeah. You know, like they only got it because of their popularity, which sucks. But at the end of the day, you know, like kudos to them, because maybe we'll open opportunities for other people that have been building a platform on social media, but also have the talent,
yes.
you know, that comes with it. And so I don't know. It's a battle between... Is it good or is it bad? You know,
yeah.
it's just back and forth all the time.
is there a Latina actress, whether it be in the English market, Spanish market, that you look up to, that you're just like, okay, her career is great and I want to model something similar, you know, because I feel like she's a really good example, role model, mm-hmm. Singing, acting, dancing, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Or just doesn't have to be Latina. Could be.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I know.
You know, there's not that many of us in there.
I know. But you know who I do follow a lot? And, oh, my gosh. First of all, was her beauty that just, like, captivated me. Arjona. Adri.
Oh, Adri Arjona.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, she's beautiful.
She was
on
Transformers?
She's been in
a lot of things. And Ricardo Arjona's daughter.
Yes, yes.
She is gorgeous.
Yes. And I have been, like, following her stuff. And I genuinely think she's beautiful, but she's talented too.
Yes.
You know, like it's not just her beauty. It's not just the name that comes from her work as well. You know, because I feel like you see Arjona and they're like, oh, let's just cast her because she's Arjona. You
yeah.
know, but no, she actually has talent. And the way she carries herself in the industry, there's so much class, there's so much grace, and yeah, it's beautiful to see that. Like I feel like she's not in the limelight.
Yes.
In terrible news, there isn't bad news about her that I haven't heard anything.
And it's so funny that you mentioned Adri Arjona, because the first people that come into my mind are like J-Lo, Asa.
Asa is another one. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but then I think of right now that you said Adri, and I'm like, you're right. She is so she's been like, how do I say it? I don't want to say in the shadows, but she's come out of the shadows where she's like, I've been able to navigate this whole system mm-hmm. without people putting like, oh my God, it's Arjona's daughter, it's Arjona's
yeah.
daughter, it's Arjona's daughter. No, it's like, oh, it's Adri.
Her own person.
Yes.
Yes. Which is funny because when I heard of her, Arjona didn't click.
No, me either.
It didn't. It wasn't until I started doing my own research, like, oh, I'm stalking her.
That's what tends to happen with your favorite
yeah.
actors.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a minute, what? What full circle here? You're Arjona? Oh, my God, now it clicks. But, yeah, I love how she's put her own name into the industry. It mm-hmm. doesn't come from her father, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, she's beautiful. Check her out and a lot of her stuff. Like, she's done great work.
Yeah. What was it like growing up? Were you always this spontaneous little girl dancing? Did you go into, like, dancing classes?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I was literally listening to a podcast coming into this. And this actress, she was like, you know, when I was a kid, if you see family movies and videos, you'll see her talking. That's literally me. Like, I was just chitty-chatter, telling stories, retelling novela stories. Like,
oh,
whatever
God.
Happened in the novela, I'm over here like, So, yeah, I think as a kid, everyone knew already. Like, this girl's going to do something with the entertainment industry because she just cannot stop talking.
Yeah.
And I did dance for a little bit when I was younger. And I went into theater when I was in high school. And then from high school, that's when I really was like, okay, this is what I want to
yeah.
do, Mom and Dad. Like, I have to do this. This is where it's the only thing that I've ever felt like I've truly, truly belonged. You know, like, you know, you enter a space where you know you belong there and you feel at home. You have nerves all over, but you know, like, those are the good nerves. Those are the nerves you want to have. So, yeah, since I was a kid, I feel like I kind of always knew. I did theater in college for the time that I was there.
Ooh, and, what shows?
Oh, my gosh. What were the names? There was this one play that was, like, all cast. It was an all-female cast, which is really
that's
cool.
Awesome.
But it was monologue. So each girl, each female, myself, it was just me on stage. I had an entire monologue. It was a grief monologue about losing my mother. And I remember my dad never got to go to many of my stuff because he was always at work.
Yeah.
So in high school, I think he went to one show. And then in college, he went to, I think, that one show as well. And my dad was the hardest to get his approval with this. Mm. He was the hardest. My mom was a little more supportive. She kind of always told my dad, like, let's take her to these classes. She, like, really wants it, you know?
Yeah.
But my dad was always more in denial with it. And it wasn't until later on in life, and he didn't even tell me then and there, okay? He didn't tell me after the play. After the play, he probably just said, oh, good work, good job. But it wasn't what he told me till later on in life. I don't know what we were talking about, but he was just, I was in the kitchen with him, I remember, and he kind of just tells me, you know, I knew that that was your thing, that it was exactly where you were supposed to be after I saw that play in college.
Yeah.
In that, with the marbles. He always called it the marbles because it was. I had to, like, play with marbles during this monologue. And to finally get my dad's approval, I went to my room. I didn't want to cry in front of him. I went to my room and I sobbed. And I was like, oh my gosh, I never felt like I needed that validation. But I finally got it, and I just, like, broke down. Until this day, I always tell myself on the moments that I'm trying to maybe tell myself that I belong somewhere else, that I should quit, and I remember, like, that moment of my dad. No, this is where you belong. Like, you have to keep going.
That is beautiful that you have that memory of your dad, because that's another one thing that I wanted to talk to you, because there's definitely a before and after, Gabriela, your dad's passing.
Yeah.
You know, that... If you'd like to share a little bit more about it.
Yeah, that was recent. I was in 2021, which, oh my God, now we're in 2024. It doesn't sound like it was that long ago, but...
It feels like...
Yeah, 2021 was almost 3 years. Well, 3 years ago, right? It'll be 3 years in September. And it is beautiful to finally have that memory of feeling like, wow, my dad knew that I wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. And he, like... He let me know that, you know, and it wasn't even during the time of when he got sick. It was way before that. But it's beautiful that I have that memory, because then I don't, like, live with this lingering feeling of, did he ever accept what I wanted to do with life? You know, like, I knew way before it all happened, like, my dad was proud and he was happy. And I'm gonna share one little memory too that I have. When my dad did pass, we had this lady come to the house and kind of just, you know, show her, you know, her grief and all that. And she was lucky to catch all of us there, my siblings. And she looks at all of us and she kind of just gave us all a little thing that my dad mentioned of each and every one of us. Whenever she would come to the house, she always said, like, oh, you guys, your dad always spoke so much about you guys, and Gabby this, and Alex tu esto. And, like, it just felt so good to have that and know that my dad was so proud of me and proud of us, you know, like, pursuing the stuff that we love, because that's what your parents want at the end of the day. You know, they sacrifice so much coming to this country, and to see their kids fulfill the dreams that probably they wanted to fulfill, but they couldn't because they had to do other sacrifices, and they see us doing that, like, that just, like, makes it worth it.
How has your view on life changed after that?
I honestly, I feel like I've always had this view in life, because my parents at a very young age, unfortunately, we've known death at a very young age, and they never hid that from us. We always went to funerals. Mm-hmm. We always went and we saw the bodies, you know. So like at a very young age, we were very aware of death and how short life could be. So I've always grown up with this idea of life is too short. I'm not going to just sit on my, can I guess?
Yeah.
Sit
you can
on my ass and just let life pass me by. You know, I have to go and do these little risks. And I think that's why I've always been such a risk taker. Whether I make it or if I fail, I'm going to keep doing things, because life is so damn short, man. Mm-hmm. And it makes you appreciate the people around you a lot more. It makes you really want to take the time out of your day to like spend with everyone. It makes me not think about, oh, I need to go buy the newest Gucci bag. Yeah. Like, no, it's about time and people and memories. And where is your time being spent, yeah. you know? And I feel like I'm grateful for my parents. I know a lot of people now are very like hesitant to take their kids to funerals when mm-hmm. they're young because it could be traumatizing. It yes. could. It could be very traumatizing. But for us, thank God it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, it's so weird to say, but like my siblings and I, we literally enjoy going to cemeteries.
Wow.
Like we go to different countries or cities and we want to go and see a cemetery because we find it fascinating. I don't know what mm-hmm. it is about it, but
there's just so much story yeah. within the cemetery. It's yeah. like just a name and a birth and death date. And it's like, wow, what story lies underneath?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess it goes back to being a storyteller myself, mm-hmm. you know? Like what can I find out from this person? Oh, my gosh. And crazy. My dad actually is buried next to a woman that her family is from the same rancho
what?
That my dad is from. Okay, get this. Crazy how life works. And we're sitting there talking to the family. Well, my aunt was talking to the family because they came to go visit their defunto, uh-huh. right? And mi tia tells us this later. She's like, oh, my God, did you guys know that so-and-so is from Zacatecas?
Wow.
From the same pueblo. And her mom knows your tia this, your tia that. Your, like, they grew up with each other. I was like, what in the world is happening?
They were probably neighbors growing
yes,
up.
Yes, they were friends with my tias. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, literally, look at God right now. Yeah. Like, putting my dad with almost like
childhood friends,
you know? And it's just so weird. Death is so beautiful and so weird at the same time, you know? Yeah. It's so hard. Yeah.
No, wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. In terms of like your energy, I see you so vibrant. I see you like always laughing, smiling at every event that I go. Like, you're always giving people a smile. Okay. And I feel like that is how you should, you know, treat others. Like, sometimes all you need is a smile to cheer somebody's day up, and just you smiling makes other people smile. But are there moments where you're not, where you're
yes.
It's your yes. therapy session, girl.
Yes, honey. Let's sit down and cry. No. Yes. Oh, my God. I kid you not. This last year, like maybe like in March, April. Yeah, almost a year now.
Yeah.
It was hard. I hit like a really low point in my career. Things were just not going the way I wanted with social media, with acting. I was like, what is happening? What is God trying to tell me? Where am I supposed to go? You know? Yeah. So with this industry, it's up and down. You can be going full throttle. You can be hitting, you know, all these bookings, and then out of nowhere, there's a halt and you yeah. don't know why. It really makes you question everything, and it yeah. makes you question your worth. Like, Are you supposed to be here? You know, are you good enough? So yeah, there's multiple moments where I can sit down and be depressed. My boyfriend gets the hits most of the time because I live with him. My friend, I have one of my best friends. She's also an actor, and we get on the phone and we're literally in the same page all the time. We're yeah. like, are you feeling this way? Yeah, I'm feeling this way too, girl.
Was that feeling and that halt because of the strike?
Yes.
Yeah.
The strike, and even a little bit before that, I think the economy has just been weird. So it's with advertising, yeah. you know, it's been very weird.
Oh my
weird.
Gosh, yes. Who like, since we both do like social media advertisement or sometimes YouTube
yes.
or on podcast.
Yes.
And it's like, where are all the advertisers
yes!
at?
Come to me, please.
Come spend your money, just not on Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yes, exactly. Hello, honey. I don't know. I'm involved in other things too.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, this economy, I think, has really effed shit up. Like,
yeah.
really. Really, really bad. So for me personally, it put a halt in my bank. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't making much as what I had made a few years, and it really hit me hard because I felt like every year I was growing
yeah.
financially, and I felt like, yes, finally all the sacrifices are falling into place and I'm seeing the fruit of my labor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's been weird, it's been tough, but you know, when I feel like giving up,
yeah.
I have my community. I have my people, my core. You have to have that core group
yeah.
that knows, like, hey, I got you. No matter how rock bottom you hit, you're not going to hit to the lowest point where you're
yeah.
going to be alone. You're going to have your people to really build you back up and help you stay there, you know?
Yeah.
Keeping afloat.
I see, obviously, the maturity in terms of, like, finances, where you are in your career. I want to talk about, like, also the immaturity when it came to winning money as a social media content creator in the beginning and early stages. Just yeah. because I feel like as Latinos, we're not taught money management.
We're not.
And then because I was on the same boat where you're just like, oh, I'm getting this check, let me go spend it.
Yes.
And then you're like, taxes. Oh, shit. Pinche tío Sam.
Que no los he pagado. Todavía no los he pagado este año.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Well,
write off everything, girls. So find every receipt.
Honey, my goodness. My boots that I'm wearing, I'm writing that off. Let's go.
Yes.
No, you know what? I will say I wasn't taught so much with like finances, but my mom was very smart with her money.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that growing up, and she would, when I would see her sitting down, she would write down a list of everything that she needs to spend for the month, her bills y todo, ¿verdad? And I learned from that a little bit. And she would tell me like, hey, look, when you're older, you want to write everything down so you know what you got to pay. So I feel like personally, I've never been that bad with money. I'm not a big splurger. I don't wear like super fancy clothes. I'm very minimalist. Where my money does go to, though, are trips. Okay, and that's where it goes to. But I only book if I know I can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I learned very much when I was in one of my first like real relationships, he was older than me, so he was pretty like savvy with his money a little bit, and he taught me like, hey, I don't care how small that check is, if you made $100, you put $10 to the side.
Exactly.
And you save and you save and you save $10 every check. So that's something that I share that knowledge to people that I meet, you know, especially in this industry where you never know when you're getting that next paycheck.
Yeah.
Like that savings that you probably did for 2 solid years could really help your ass later on. And that's what it kind of did with me, you know, like this last year was really slow with money, but I booked so much throughout the last previous years and I saved. That was like helping me get through things, you know, and of course I booked other things here and there with acting or anything else, but like the savings really helped me. And then like investing money in certain things, you know.
Invest.
Yeah, but I wish our community was better with like having that financial knowledge.
Yeah, because
we really don't.
If we would have started a lot earlier, we'd probably be doing our own movies.
Yes,
you know,
we would. But we live and we learn.
Exactly, we live and we learn. One of the things that I was gonna ask is obviously talking about splurging and loving trips. Talk to me about this project that you got going on where you're inviting random strangers. It literally feels like a reality TV show, and I hope you're gonna document it.
I am. Okay, so first of all, I really hope it goes through.
Okay, where did the idea come from?
I've seen group travels and I've always wanted to be a part of one and just meet strangers. I mean, I just love meeting people. I love exploring.
Hostels.
Yeah, you know? And so as a traveler myself, I was like, man, one day maybe I'll take the leap of faith and I'll do a group travel with my fans. Let's see, you know? It's probably going to be the worst experience of my life or the really coolest experience.
Yeah.
And I started doing my research and I found this group travel that I can do, right? And I saw a lot of reviews and it seems like it goes really well for people. So I took the leap of faith and I was like, it's now or never. They reached out to me, actually, which was crazy.
That's even better.
Yes, because I kept pushing it off to the side and I was like, it's not my thing. Like, I'm not going to sell, right?
Yeah.
So when they reached out to me, I kind of took that as a sign, like, okay, it's your time.
Yes.
Like, try it out, give it a shot and see what happens.
Are they giving a discount or are they paying for the trip?
Oh my God, I can't give too many details.
Okay, don't say anything.
I can't do too many details. But as of now, we're like in the beginning stages.
Uh-huh.
People seem really interested. I got way more survey like answered questions than I expected.
I saw two of the spots that I want to go to on there that were the top three, which is Japan, Greece, and I forgot where the other one is.
Costa Rica.
Yes. Actually, I want to go to Costa Rica too.
Yes, I know. I would go in a heartbeat to any of those countries.
I could see you do a girls trip in Greece and do like a Mamma Mia adventure.
Oh, that would be
And the
so
only
cute.
Reason I know the reference is because of my girlfriend. She loves Mamma Mia.
So. I love that musical too. Oh my God, I love it. No, honestly, I see more females choosing Greece from the survey, and then more males Japan.
Yes, that's literally for anime.
And then it's a mix with Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And right now, I think Japan is winning, honestly.
Yep. I voted for Japan. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, my God. You should join. yeah. So right now, we're in the voting section, right? Yeah. So I feel like Japan is going to be that destination. And then from there, we'll open up the itinerary and the groups. So whoever wants to join, you guys can follow along and hopefully maybe book that flight with me.
Oh my God. Are you expecting something out of it? Like new friends?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the biggest thing is I want to just like give back, I guess, to my community, to my followers, my fans that have really been there for a very, very long time. Like I've built relationships online with them and it'd be really cool to meet in real life, you know?
And actually spend some quality time, like you said.
Yes. Yes. So that's my biggest thing. It's like, hey, the least I can do is to, like give my time to you the way you've given your time to me.
What would you love to do in Japan? I'm going to ask for all three of them.
Oh, in Japan? Maybe like take like a cooking class.
Oh, sushi?
Like that would, sushi, or I saw like matcha making one, and I love matcha. Yeah, I think maybe like cooking. And then I've been wanting to do onsens, but you have to be naked.
What's onsens?
Onsens are like natural hot springs.
Oh, you know they have the Wii Spa here in Koreatown?
What?
Is it in Koreatown or downtown LA? The Wii Spa, basically, I'm giving them like a free promo. But basically, it's a spa. It's a 24-hour spa. It's Korean-based, I believe. And you can go in there, and there's obviously the male side and the female side. But there's three floors. The bottom floor is all nude for women, all nude for men, because like literally that's how the culture is. Mm-hmm. And then the second spot is communal, but they have hot tubs, they have cold plunge, they have sauna, steam rooms, they have like they have so many different rooms and they're pretty cool, and I'm just like, whoa.
Have you done
and
it?
Gym? Yeah.
You did the naked one? Hell yeah. Oh my gosh.
I have no shame because I literally, at the first time that I did it, one, because I didn't want to pay for a hotel in LA because I live in the Inland Empire. Okay. And I was like, where can I stay? So I started researching and I'm like, it's $30. And it's,
oh my God.
You can stay there all day. And you can stay there all day. Obviously, you have to pay for the food and whatnot.
Right.
But there's a gym, there's a shower, and it beats an Airbnb. It beats in a hotel. Like, it beats any of that. You just have to sleep like Koreans do, which is on a mat.
Oh, my God.
Which is on the second floor, which is communal, and you're fully clothed on the second floor.
Okay.
So you're only naked in the male section or the female section, which is the bottom floor.
Okay.
But I was like, oh, I don't know. And I've always had this, like, notion of, like, you know what? I should experience other cultures, not, like, how they are intended to be experienced to a certain extent in their country. And it's so cool that they brought that type of feeling in LA. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to pay for a hotel room. Let me just go in there. And I had a blast. At first, it was a little like,
don't look down
because I don't want them to think that I'm looking. But then you just kind of get used to it. Then you go into the sauna, the cold plunge, and then I see it more of a like, okay, this is hella relaxing.
Yeah.
And they give massages. They give all that.
For $30.
Well, you pay extra for the massages and whatnot,
okay.
But just to use the installations, it's $30.
Dude, I'm booking it today. No, see, I think with the American culture, sexuality has been exposed in such a negative way. And you go to Europe, you go to Asia and other different countries.
New beaches.
It's nothing. Like, this is your body. Embrace it. Like, it is what it is. Like, it shouldn't be sexualized to the way America has sexualized it, you know? My biggest thing is, I'm not sure, and I feel like I read it somewhere. I think it is also women are on one side and men are on the other, but I'm not sure. So I'm kind of like, what if it's anyone?
Oh,
I'm not going to be naked in front of my followers. I was like, no, honey, you ain't getting that show. Okay, this ain't OnlyFans for like all of that.
You got to pay for that extra.
Yes, you're going to pay for that. So that's why I'm kind of like, that's I don't think awesome. I'll do it, but when I went to Japan with some friends, I was willing to do that, but they didn't want to do it. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. We won't do it.
Lame.
I know. No, but that's something I'm kind of eager to try out myself,
awesome.
You know, because, yeah, like, that's
it's
where you go
culture.
To different cultures.
Yeah.
You want to dive into, you want to go in there and respect the culture, you know? Like, it might not be what you grew up with, but that's their home. This is the way they do things. So just go in with open mind and open heart and mad respect, you know?
What about in Greece?
Oh my God, in Greece, I honestly just want to like eat all the food and just tan.
Okay.
I just want to be on every beach and eat all the food I can. I would love to go to Athens and, know, and go to the ruins. Like
Greek mythology.
Yes. Like, I just want to dive into that and feel like I just got taken back into time. And I feel like anytime I go into these historical, like, sites, I get the chills. Uh-huh. I feel like I'm, like, feeling the ancestors, like, around me. So,
ancestors.
Yes. Was that Mulan, right?
Yes. And so I just I just want to eat all the food. I love Mediterranean food.
Ooh, okay.
And go into like every beach I can, be in the water, swim, wherever, like go into caves and stuff. Like I would love to do that.
Costa Rica?
Costa Rica? Oh no, in Costa Rica quiero hacer todo. I mean, you're like in the jungle,
yes.
You know? I love living that remote life. So I really hope whoever does go to these trips, they're gonna know that it's not gonna be these luxurious trips.
Mm-hmm.
I don't travel like that. Okay.
Are you doing hostels?
Because
those are always fun. I'm telling you, I've been to hostels in Peru and Colombia,
really?
And you meet so many people.
You know, I've never done that.
Oh my god. I mean, I went with my best friend. I don't know how it is traveling as a woman,
uh-huh.
Of course, but I've seen so many women travel solo or with their significant other or in groups, and it is the best time because you literally are just connected with people who love to travel,
mm-hmm.
who love to explore, and after a long day everybody tells you like what their travels
yeah.
are, and you can either book a room by yourself or you're sharing a room with
yeah.
like 2-3 other people,
yeah.
and it's also fun because you're just like, where are you guys going tomorrow? Where we're going here? Oh, you know what, I should probably check that out.
Yes. Or they join you along.
Yes,
yes, because I've met people that were in hostels, you know, in some of my trips, and I even got invited back to their hostels and we drink, and I was like, wait a minute, it's 25 cents here?
Yeah.
What do you mean the drink is 25 cents here?
When I was in Colombia, I remember I was with with my best friend, and he's my fraternity brother, and we just saw like two guys speaking English, and we were kind of speaking English, so they came up to us and they're like, oh, where are you guys from? And then they were like, oh, from California. Oh, no way, are you guys brothers? And we're like, yeah, but no, we're fraternity brothers. And they're like, oh really, what fraternity? I'm in a fraternity too. Turns out, long story short, we were the same fraternity but from different schools, and we were like, what?
No way.
He would just graduated years after, and we just hung out the next day in Colombia, like road tripped, and it was awesome.
Oh my god, see, that's why I love to travel.
Yeah,
man. I mean, you could do those things here in your own like state or city, but you really meet the most interesting people when you travel.
Yes.
And it's so fascinating. You come back with stories, and sometimes I forget the places I've been to, and when I sit down and I start looking and I go through my whole book, I'm like, whoa,
yeah.
I remember that person. Oh, I remember the experience I had with that person, you know. So yeah, it's I don't think we're staying in hostels. There's like a
process.
Yeah, there's like a process with this. And I mean, they're not the most fanciest hotels. So, like, Costa Rica is probably going to be the roughest place to be at. But it's Costa Rica, bro. You're in a jungle.
Pura vida. Pura vida.
Exactly. I loved going to Costa Rica, honestly. One of my
yes.
favorite countries that I've been to. So in Costa Rica, I just want to go out dancing. The food, the beaches, like everything there.
You're a foodie. I love it.
I'm a foodie, yes.
And
yes.
you do like a lot of cooking on your channel.
Yes.
And yes, I
yeah,
love
so
seeing that.
When you travel with me, you're definitely going to have a food experience. There's no doubt about it. It's going to somehow food will land in there. So yeah, I'm excited. I we're in the beginning stages, so I'm really hoping it all goes through and people don't chicken out,
yes.
you know? But you'll go follow me on Instagram and you'll see the journey
yeah.
as it goes.
Well, I want to backtrack just a little bit into this social media and acting space. Do you have an agent for both, or is it the same agent for one?
So right now I have solely with acting.
Uh-huh.
I have a manager and an agent for that. I was repped for social media, but I recently let go of that. So I'm kind of doing it on my
own
right now.
How's that? Because I do it for myself too. And sometimes I wish I had an agent be like, just tell me what to do.
Yeah. yeah.
Or tell me where I was booked or not.
Yeah. No, I know. So with social media, I kind of took the leap of faith again.
Mm-hmm.
And I told myself, well, I did it for myself for so long, I could do it again. You know,
yeah.
although now that I'm like in it, I'm like, oh my God, things have changed so much.
Yes.
Maybe I shouldn't have left them, but
yeah.
Dios sabe, you know, las
yeah.
cosas pasan como pasan. It's with acting, it's different because I don't know much of that like submitting process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's all them. They know where they have to go and look for things. Obviously, there's certain like websites that I'm on that'll like Actors Access, Casting Networks, Casting Frontier. You can self-submit, but when you have an agent and a manager, they go into like the harder things to submit for, like more of the network stuff, you know, things that are union, you know, like at the end of the day, you want to be SAG, you want to be union, you know? And with social media, it's more like me just, this is how I've always managed it. You can maybe give me tips after, but like I've never really reached out to brands. They've always come to me. Somehow they find me, you know?
I recently just reached out to 3 brands, but it's never been like, hey, I'm gonna hit you back up. Yeah. They've always reached out to me. Luckily, keep reaching out,
but
also answer my DMs because your boy's trying to collaborate.
Yes. So it's just been like a back and forth. This year I've taken a little bit more of like, okay, I'm gonna reach out to everything I like. I'm gonna tag to everything I like, and hopefully they start seeing that, you know? But I've been very fortunate where brands are just reaching out to me. I always tell people, you know, just be true to yourself on social media and post what you love. And like these brands will see that, you know, and they'll see the honesty of that. If they want to work with you, they'll reach out.
How do you feel, or how do you overcome? And because it happens to me a lot where it's like there's been this change in algorithm where your likes or views are down and you're just like, well, I know I have this reach, but sometimes the numbers aren't there. And that can become a downside to the client or the brand where you're just like, oh, come on, like algorithm, be on my favorite. Because sometimes your stories are up, sometimes they're way down, sometimes your likes are up. And it's like this number game that to me, it's like investing. It can be stressing.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, I'm still navigating that. I'm still trying to figure that out. Like I said, social media has changed so much. So now that I'm kind of doing it on my own, I'm kind of like starting from zero, from ground zero, you know? Like you said, the algorithm will throw it really hard one day, and then the next day you post something, it's like if no one saw anything.
Yes.
So it messes with me. It messes with me. Same. Thinking again, like, damn, I suck. Dang, no one's going to want to work with me. But yet again, I've worked with big brands like freaking the Mexican national team.
I saw that.
Adidas.
You went to Mexico.
Like, yes, you know, so it's like it makes no sense to me sometimes how the algorithm works. Screw you, algorithm.
Oh, no.
I don't know what's going on there. But again, I only hope that the work that I put out there shows and that these brands see like, yo, she has what we want our brand to represent.
Yeah.
You know, so I have to get out of the number game sometime. Yeah. I have to remember there's more than that, you know? Even though it's a big numbers game, I just have to remind myself, hey, it's just a job.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't hit today. It might hit tomorrow, you know?
How do you get over writer's block? Because sometimes I feel like, oh, my God, I should be posting more. But then it's like, okay, I can go a month without posting. I can post all the time on stories, but then a month without, like, posting on the feed. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
No, I know. Literally today I'm already thinking, like, what am I going to post? What am I going to post? What I've been doing is the minute something happens throughout my day-to-day, I'm like, oh, my God, that would be a brilliant video idea, I'll write it down.
Oh, smart.
And I'm just like, okay, eventually I'll get to it. Sometimes there's some things that I have written down for years and I haven't done it. But I'm like, okay, let me write it down because this is a good, brilliant idea, you know? And that's kind of where my creativity comes from, my day-to-day. Something happens and I'm like, ah, ahí está. That's the story of the day. That's the video of the day. But I have taken a step back from posting so much too because it started getting really like depressing for me because I wasn't seeing the numbers, you know, I wasn't seeing the growth. I see somebody that started maybe 2 years ago with like thousands and millions of followers and I'm like, whoa, how the heck have I not reached that? And I've been doing this for way longer, you know? So I think taking a step back and only posting a few times out of the week and managing like, okay, today I'm only going to do stories, tomorrow I'm going to do a feed and giving myself those breaks in between those days to just be like, today I have nothing to do with social media. Today I'm just focused with acting or just with my life, you know?
Yeah. This podcast is called Échale Podcast, Echándole Ganas a la Vida, one episode at a time. How does Gabby echarle ganas a la vida?
Qué pregunta tan profunda. man. Yo le echo ganas a la vida, I feel like, con los riesgos que les doy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just always just taking a risk and saying, ahí vamos. Si toca, toca, y si no, no. you know? Yeah, y estoy echándole. Like, literally, my motivation to keep going are my parents and myself. Like, I don't want to disappoint myself. Mm-hmm. I've gone such a long and far, like, length in my career and in this world of acting and social media that I feel like I'm going to live a life of regret if I don't keep going. And yes. I don't want to live a life of regret. So así le sigo echándole ganas.
Amen to that. Gabby, where can people find you?
Follow me on Instagram at ogabby. That's a 0H and then G-A-B-Y. Yeah, on all my platforms at ogabby. So maybe you guys come on a journey with me.
Maybe. Do you guys want to go to Costa Rica, Japan, or Greece? Let ogabby know. Follow her on social media. But thank you so much for being on a telepodcast.
Thank you. This was so much fun.
Really? Okay, cool. I love when people say this was so much fun because it makes me feel great.
I could keep going, honestly.
I can too. But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Bueno, and then don't forget to like, share, subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on podcast, Échale Podcast on Instagram. Until the next episode, para seguir echándole ganas a la vida, one episode at a time.